This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. Douglas Cares Executive Director Sarah Wickersham, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, right now, as we've talked about before, Cares is in kind of a one-month pause. I know you've covered it before, but kind of explain why this step was taken.
Yeah, this was a very, very difficult decision stemming from financial disruptions throughout the last year. There have been a couple of critical grant funds that are smaller than they used to be. VOCA particularly got cut by almost 60%. At least our portion of it did. Other grants that we typically have relied on have either gone away or are greatly reduced. Another factor is that we changed the way that we build for services through insurance providers. So we Douglas Cares does a lot of services for clients and kids in Douglas County. We do therapy sessions, skills training sessions, medical exams, forensic interviews. And the way that our funding structure works is that we bill insurance companies for those services. And that's how most of our funding comes. So early last year, we contracted with a billing company from out of the community. And they did not do a very good job of submitting the bills that we for the work that we had done. So we worked with them for about 4.5 months and tried to correct the issue, but it didn't get better. And about late July, we switched over to Harvard Billing here in the community, and they are doing a much better job, but there's still a lot of catch up to do, and there are still some discrepancies in the billing that we're submitting. So it led to a pretty big financial hole. We had a lot in reserves to cover this, but we got to a point where we had used all of those, and the situation is not quite resolved.
Now, you mentioned back at the beginning there VOCA funding, and just explain what VOCA is.
So VOCA stands for Victims of Child Abuse. It is a federal fund that's money gets put into there from fines for people who commit crimes. That fund has been dwindling for years because on a federal level and in every state, the justice system is kind of changing the way that they dole out justice, and a lot of that is no longer through fines for criminal activity. A lot of times because the people who commit crimes maybe don't have the money to pay fines. And so that fund's been drying up for a long time. On the federal level and at every state level, there's been a lot of push to try and create a fix for those dwindling funds, but that has not occurred yet.
Now, so is this impacting other agencies like CARES as well?
Yes, there are several organizations that here in town that rely on VOCA funding, including CASA of Douglas County, who provide services to child victims of child abuse as they move through the child welfare system. Critically important agency in our community, and their funding is also precarious right now.
So, I mean, a lot of things kind of all over a several-month period. Sounds like it really kind of drained things.
Yes. Yeah. It has drained our reserves, and we're in a position where we decided to take a pause to secure some bridgefront funding to help us come back to the table and work on these issues that have created the lapse.
Now, as the only child advocacy center in the county, talk about what the impact of this pause has resulted in.
This pause has resulted in many children not receiving services. However, our law enforcement and child welfare partners are working very diligently to find avenues through which children can still receive care. There are other CACs in other communities, and they are working with those CACs to provide some services for the kids that are left without here in Douglas County. Therapy services are primarily paused. Most of our clients said they wanted to wait for us until we came back, but that's about a month of services that kids aren't receiving right now.
And if you're dealing with other child advocacy centers, then that gets into transportation and a lot of things like that, too.
Yes, that's correct. Families are sometimes transporting on their own, and sometimes the investigators are providing other means of transportation to get them to those exams.
So with this pause going, what's been kind of the response that you've heard in the community, maybe from some of the partner organizations that you work with?
We have had an overwhelmingly positive community response. People are reaching out constantly to share their prayers and their hopes for us and for the work that we do. Many community members who are facing their own financial hardships are sharing with us in a way that just humbles me and melts my heart. We're receiving many donations of $50, $100, $200 from people who still have to go out and buy groceries at the end of the month. And we are deeply, deeply grateful. And it really shows how much this work means to our community.
Have you ever had to deal with a situation quite like this?
I have not, no. The agency did come into some concerning times during COVID, a little before COVID, and had to secure a loan for funding for a short term and then came back.
Now, during this pause, do you end up having to furlough some of the staff?
Yes, the majority of our staff are furloughed. We still meet with them once a week so that we can kind of touch base and keep our team together. But this is a very hard time for them.
So as you're working on this, what kinds of things are happening to get the financial situation improved?
We are seeking bridge funding from some of the larger foundation groups as well as smaller community groups. We did have a donor that prefers to remain anonymous give us a very large gift that should on its own be enough for us to open up at the end, at the beginning of February. And we're grateful, but they prefer to remain anonymous, so I can't thank them on the radio. That group has come out. And then there are a few other smaller funding options that have passed our way as well.
Now, so at this point, you're still anticipating being able to open by February then?
That is what we anticipate, yes.
And what's it like to kind of restart? I mean, have you thought about the dynamics of what that'll be like? Do you just sort of open back up, or is there going to be a lot of catch up?
There will be catch up. There will for sure certainly be catch up. So the community investigators are primarily focusing on getting services for very acute needs for kids. So that means that if a child has an injury right now, they're trying to make sure that child gets seen within a particular time frame. And they're doing a really phenomenal job creating that avenue for services. If a child reports a historical incident of abuse, then that child probably isn't going to get an exam and may not get an interview. So when CARES opens back up again, those historical incidents are going to be on the docket for pretty quickly after we reopen.
All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, we're going to get an update on things happening at Umpqua Community College with the president, Dr. Rachel Polkrant, and a special guest coming in for part of that as well. Sarah Wickersham from Douglas Cares in here this afternoon talking about the one-month pause in the organization. And I'm sure your board has got a big role. What's kind of the normal work of your board in helping the organization, you know, whether times are good or not so good?
Well, as with all nonprofits, the board of directors is primarily responsible for the larger decision making. They decide the mission of the agency, the direction that the agency is going to go. They hire the director of the agency, and then those day-to-day operational things fall to the director to perform. Our board has been very, very active throughout this time. We meet. I communicate with them at least once a day, but we're meeting officially, formally, weekly, and they're all solidly at the table on helping with every stage of this process and generate ideas and try to move forward different ideas that we have decided on to continue.
So how many people do you have on the board?
Right now we have 5 people on the board. We are actually seeking new board members. Unfortunately, some health crises hit at the end of last year, and a couple of our members had to resign due to that. So we are actively seeking new board members if anyone is interested. We would love to have some board members who have received services from us. You can fill out a contact form on our website if that's something that you'd be interested in doing, and we can reach out to you and kind of go through that process with you. We are also interested in more of our community partners serving on our board and being a part of this solution as we move forward.
Now, CARES began, what, you're about 30 years ago, right?
About 30 years ago, 1994. It was a little tiny operation, just a part-time interviewer and a part-time office manager or advocate out of a little house. They took care of kids whenever they could. The medical exams always happened outside in the community with community medical providers, It was a really novel and innovative design when it first started in Douglas County. We weren't, of course, the first CAC, but we were one of the early adopters, and it's a proud legacy.
I would imagine now there are CACs in every county, right?
Not exactly. There are 24 CACs in Oregon, especially out in eastern Oregon. Some of the CACs cover multiple counties, but most of us just have one county to serve.
And are a lot of them set up pretty similarly in terms of the kind of the complex funding?
Yes, the funding complexities are pretty much across the board. We are unique in a lot of ways because we serve a pretty rural community, and a lot of services are either not available or not guaranteed. There are some services we provide that other CACs don't. For instance, we have in the past provided the initial set of assessments that kids need when they're entering foster care. So that's a mental health assessment, a medical exam, a dental assessment. And we kind of put that together, package it up, and help DHS meet those deadlines for those assessments that they need when they're first entering care. We also have one of the bigger mental health programs of a CAC. And that, again, is because it's difficult to find trauma-specific therapists who have enough leeway in their caseload to have guaranteed openings for the kids that we serve.
And the background of being one of these therapists, what kinds of training, accreditation do they go through?
So our therapists start with a general credentials of any therapist. So they can be an LPC. Typically, that means a master's degree in therapy, counseling, or psychology, something related, and then additional training in specific therapy work. And you can get one credential through kind of a state body here in Oregon called MACBO, and that's a QMHP. Only a few of us can hire QMHPs in Douglas County because that's a special arrangement we have with the Oregon Health Authority. Other therapists have LPC licenses or LCSWs or a licensed family therapist. In addition to that, there's pretty extensive training in trauma-focused CBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, just a lot of additional coursework in child maltreatment and what kinds of things that can cause long-term, so that they can really meet that moment when they have a child in front of them that is either fresh in that trauma or the parent who very likely had that as a child and is still kind of going through recovery.
Now, and if you've been at Douglas Cares, remind me how long?
About 5 years.
And but you'd been in other organizations kind of around the area too, right?
Yes. Prior to Douglas Cares, I was with the Douglas County Juvenile Department. Was the clinical director for the residential treatment programs. We served primarily foster children who had behavioral concerns such that they couldn't be safely served in the community in home-like settings. So it was kind of a group home for kids with big mental health and behavioral challenges.
It sounds like, I mean, obviously this is like tough work even on a good day.
Yes. This is deeply challenging and deeply fulfilling work. There's no greater gift than being in a place where you can see someone else's growth, see someone who has been deeply hurt, and to watch them take the next step forward and to raise their head and to move into healing and happiness.
Now, you talked about all the funding changes, the billing issues, the things going on. Did the building that you moved into last year, did that contribute to the situation at all?
The rent is higher in the new building than it was in the old building, but it's very marginally higher, it's not a significant factor. Guy Kennerly, the owner of that building, really gave us an amazing lease deal for all that space. So, without the billing issue, it would be very easy to take care of the increase in rent. With the billing issue, our old rent would still have been a problem.
Now, I mean, you've talked about bridge funding and things like that. Do you see any other long-term shifts that you're going to have to make to keep things running more smoothly?
The board is discussing those options all the time. We haven't come to any solid conclusions yet. But yes, there will be shifts in our funding structure and the way that we... the way that we provide services. We're not solid yet, but some of those ideas might be a different grant funding structure, more project-based. And some of those, we really are looking very closely and continue to work diligently to improve the billing situation with our new biller in the community.
And talk about how additional support from the community or businesses or other organizations can help, at least at this point.
Our main focus right this second is to secure that bridge funding. So financial donations are the most helpful right now. As we move forward, we are looking for, as I said, board members, more governance, more community support in terms of what our community really wants to see from the CAC. And we always are looking for donations that go directly to kids, clothing, shoes, toiletries, food, things like that. We give directly to kids and families who need them.
And if people want to find out more about this or offer some support, how do they get connected?
You can visit us on our website and reach out to us via the contact note. That's www.douglascares.org, and just send us a message and I will reach out to you personally.
Sarah Wickersham of Douglas Cares, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside. inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.